Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Three, two, one. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dominic, a glorious day. The president in my backyard, little buddy.
Happy, 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 glorious Wednesday hump day to you, Crudy. Evan on the board. Our fair audience. What a day, man. What a day.
You know why I didn't say Wednesday? Wasn't quite sure there for a moment.
What day is it?
It's been moving pretty fast. State of the Union. It's the This should be the hangover edition. We should be easing our way into this Wednesday.
I know, man. I'm getting way, way too mature for this game, man. We should be absolutely hungover playing some drinking games like anytime the president says, I'm serious. You know what I mean? I'm not kidding. For real.
You know? I tell you what, if you'd drank every time somebody called him a liar,
you'd be
in detox this morning.
I think some of those megas should be in detox this morning.
I thought the president, Joe Biden, did a fine job. I thought the crew here at the Civic Media, I thought they did an excellent job. And thanks all around. Lots of fine people. I'm not going to name them all because I'll forget somebody, although I'm usually pretty good. Today, less so. Because I'm a little troubled, Dom.
What was that, Mike?
Well, first and foremost, it was the fact that we took the response last night, a huck of Sanders.
Did you play it out?
The huck, well, not in its entirety. I mean, don't they have her on a timer? Seriously. I was listening to the fine coverage, and let me run through a few of the cast of characters. We had Bill McCashin. I mean, that was Tommy Thompson, former Republican governor, four-time Overs chief of staff. There was talk that he was going to run for governor. Well, he was on the show. Our good friend Joe Sopecki, Sopecki Communications, big Dem strategist here in the state of Wisconsin, you know, worked in the Obama administration, big resume Joe. Well, Joe was part of the coverage. Todd Alba, Matt Flynn, our predecessor, Matt Flynn. Grumpy Grandpa, he was part of the coverage last night. News director Terry Bell. And they're having this MSNBC worthy roundtable during the fine live coverage post-speech. And, you know, Joe lingered in the chamber for like half an hour damn near.
Oh, yes. He was definitely shaking hands, kissing babies and shaking hands.
Buddy, he was brokering deals right there on the floor, yeah. Is my understanding. But the response, the quote-unquote Republican response, didn't come until after that point. So when Joe finally got around to leaving, it was about, to my memory, I'm just going fuzzy memory, it's about 9:45. Up until then, it had been great coverage. Even our conservative buddy, Bill McCashin, in jovial spirits, reminded him of the good old days. This was a fine political event. Entertaining? I don't know about the speech, Tom, but I'd give it a solid A- for entertainment value. And I don't say that often about political things. Yeah, you know, I think it's
especially President Biden. I got to tell you, I think Joe, he exceeded my expectations. I thought he did a fine job. I thought the way he handled the megas was perfect. But the GOP, the megas, they absolutely met my very low expectations.
Are we back to talking about Huck Sanders? Because our coverage was interrupted, and I understand, and I don't blame our news director, although I kind of do. But, you know, he said, oh, excuse me, we're going to take the Republican response now in real time. You know, they're doing a live show. It's about the State of the Union. I guess I understand, Terry.
I mean, you know, you got to hear the other side.
But I was expecting a 5-minute speech. I'd have been okay for five. That lady was going on and on. And it wasn't a speech. It was unmoored. It was like a dystopian nightmare, man. I didn't even talk. Buddy, I am pretty politically engaged. And I didn't know two or three times what in the hell she was talking about. You'd need a QAnon dictionary to follow what in the hell she was talking about. So that put me a little off kilter. But I'm thinking, that's okay. Joe Biden's coming to my town today. And I mean, it's glorious here in Madison, dude. 44 degrees, sunny.
I know.
Are you kidding me?
What's going on here?
I just saw, and no, all sincerity, I'm not making this up for the radio. Lady walking her dog over on Midvale, pink shorts and a green t-shirt. It's shorts weather here in Wisconsin at 44 degrees.
Oh, hell, man. Top down, heat on. I mean, this is what we do in Wisconsin.
And the president's coming to town. I'm so excited the president's coming to town today. He's already been here. But this morning, I get up and I'm like, man, you know, driving into work. Excited, pumped up. Can't wait for our coverage of the live speech. We played it out earlier across the network. Hope you enjoyed it. I'm like, I wonder what the competition's doing today. Whitey Righty Talk Radio. I'm gonna turn it down the dial. See what they got going on.
Why would you do that?
I don't know. Big mistake.
Glutton for punishment.
Dan O'Donnell and our buddy Scott Ross. I wish he'd have been a part last night, but our buddy Scott Ross used to call him Clan O'Donnell with some.
I think he still does.
Probably does.
Yeah.
He just doesn't appear as much as he used to. But if he did, he'd call him Clan O'Donnell. And the implication is that Dan often acts like a racist on his early morning talk show, right-wing talk show. One of the biggest radio stations in the state, WISN. Some of the highest ratings in AM talk radio across the nation. Now, I'm not saying Dan's show, but the station. And it's simulcast here in Madison on a greatly diminished WIBA AM product. That used to be a great station. Not so much anymore.
No, okay.
But Dan O'Donnell, you know, he's right on par for that station. And he was talking about the esteemed guest of our friend Gwen Moore, Congresswoman from Milwaukee last night.
My Congresswoman.
State of the Union address. Human prop, as he described him, Sterling Brown. And you might think, well,
Former Bucks player.
I think he played for the Lakers most recently. NBA guy. Not a star. But he was good enough to make it to the NBA. And while here in Milwaukee, he was sort of brutally arrested one night. And he was tased. And not only did he have a financial settlement with the city of Milwaukee, not a multi-million dollar settlement, but it was enough to sting. But there was also a resolution agreed to by the city, conduct resolution, talking about the behaviors directed at him. A black Milwaukee Bucks player. So I'm listening to Dan O'Donnell thinking, wonder what the competition's talking about. I got to tell you, man, Clan O'Donnell, and I don't usually call him that, but today he earned it. Clan said that Sterling Brown, the human prop, dragged to the State of the Union by Gwen Moore to be a human prop, well, she dishonors herself and the nation by taking him because of the Milwaukee police officer killed in the line of duty yesterday. He gets to be judge, jury, and executioner of what is or is not acceptable behavior for Gwen Moore. Because he's got a radio show, don't you know? So Dan, first and foremost, okay, whatever. Crap on Gwen Moore's choice because Sterling Brown was there to represent the fact that police sometimes overstep, like how they treated him in Milwaukee. Hence the settlement and the resolution. So I'm listening to this and I'm thinking, okay. And then he kind of moved beyond that point. He stated, and I paraphrase, but effectively, to my impression, Dan O'Donnell was blaming Sterling Brown for his conduct that night.
Oh, after receiving the financial settlement, after you know, the city approving of this resolution, it was somehow Sterling Brown's fault that he got treated that way?
Deserved to be tased in the telling of Dan O'Donnell.
Wow, that's crazy.
Understand, Dan thinks he's got lots of insights into the police force, often quoting inside sources.
You don't really need to quote any inside sources. There were body cam video of the entire incident.
Well, there was. So, anyways, he went on further to talk about the fact that if Sterling Brown was at the State of the Union address as the guest of Gwen Moore last night, and he had called for Gwen Moore's comment, and was quite harumphed about the fact she hadn't responded to him. And actually, they did actually respond. They sent pictures of Gwen Moore apparently hugging Sterling Brown and acknowledging that, you know, Sterling Brown had been an advocate for police treating people equitably. And sort of justice reform, right? That's his place.
Sure, yes.
And that's why she brought him. And he's a well-known figure. But Dan pointed out, well, the fact that he's not on the Lakers bench the very same night that LeBron James is off breaking the all-time NBA scoring record. He did last night. He beat former Buck Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Lou Alcindor, though.
That's right. That's
back
right.
Then. And Dan said, well, clearly, he's not even in the NBA anymore. He would have been at the game last night, a far more important event, the all-time scoring record in the NBA, than Joe Biden's State of the Union address. You know, he wouldn't have wasted his time slumming it with Joe. But before he could pivot to Congressman Scott Fitzgerald, who he later chastised and admonished Fitzgerald, did you boo Biden? Because if you didn't boo him, I'd personally primary your ass. That's how Dan greeted a sitting congressman who assured him, oh, yeah, I booed.
Oh, yes, the megas are all mega.
But here's how he sort of concluded his thought on Sterling Brown. He said, well, if Sterling Brown, you know, at best, he's a mediocre NBA player. But in light of the incident in Milwaukee, he did prove one thing.
What did he prove, Mike?
He sure can take a charge. And then he said, ba-bum-bum. And I got kind of pissed. And I called Sterling Brown's attorney, who's a friend of ours. His name's Mark Thompson. He's going to join us at 4:30. And we'll discuss the resolution made by the city of Milwaukee based on police conduct directed at his client, Sterling Brown. And we're gonna feed Dan O'Donnell back a few of his own words. Clan O'Donnell, you act pretty racist today, Dan. Come back, devil's advocates. It's always a great day till someone pisses me off.
Boo this man! Boo! Terrible idea! Why don't you let us?
When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines are open. We'll take you if you call in at 844-967-2789.
But not at 4:30. That's when we got Mark Thompson, the attorney for Sterling Brown, friend of ours. We'll talk to Mark soon. Dom, also, not only is it glorious weather, we got the president in my backyard. I think we're burying the lead. I apologize.
Crudy had a rant a little bit, man.
Let's get to the sound. President Joe Biden in DeForest. Last night he didn't name names. Today was naming names. I want to start with the naming of the names. Let's do it. Ebone. Let's start with cut 109. He was discussing the fact that, you know, a few of the Republicans, they were... Well, let's hear it from the president.
A video of him saying, I'm here right now to tell you one thing you probably never heard from a politician. It'll be my objective to phase out Social Security, pull it up by its roots, get rid of it. Then he added, I'm quoting this now, Medicare and Medicaid are the same sort. They need to be pulled up. Sounds pretty clear to me. How about you?
More from the president, cut 110.
I found it interesting that when I called them out on that last night, it sounded like they agreed to take these cuts off the table. Remember I said, no, I'm serious. Remember what I said? I said, so you're not going to cut it, huh? No. I said, okay, we got a deal. Well, I sure hope that's true. I'll believe it when I see it, and their budget's laid down with the cuts they're proposing.
More from President Biden. He will get to the naming of the name soon. In DeForest, Wisconsin, in our backyard, cut 111, please.
A lot of Republicans, their dream is to cut Social Security, Medicare. Well, let me just say this. It's your dream, but I'm going to my veto pen make it a nightmare.
Yeah. A rambunctious, a feisty Joe Biden today.
What do they call him?
Easy
a dark,
for me to say.
Dark. What's
Dark
what's
Joe.
Dark Brandon. Oh, yeah.
Dark Brandon. There we go. Yes. Dark Brandon. Lighten them up, man.
More from Dark Brandon in DeForest. Cut 112, talking about Rick Scott.
Well, guess what? You know, I remind you that Rick Scott from Florida, the guy who ran the U.S. Senate campaign, has a plan. I got his brochure right here. He has a plan. Here's what he says in his plan. Let me open it up here.
Sorry.
He says, all federal legislation sunsets every 5 years. If the law is worth keeping, Congress can pass it again. Social Security, Medicare.
At least one more for right now from President Joe Biden in DeForest. This one on the local, Senator Ron Johnson from the great state of Wisconsin. What's Ron say? Something Social Security's a Ponzi scheme, something like that. Let's hear how Biden describes him. 113.
And by the way, you have a senator named Ron Johnson. Ron Johnson on Social Security and Medicare, quote, we should transfer everything, so we have to consider everything every year. Come on, man. And then
Rojo got a come on, man.
Come on, man.
A little bit more from the president. Want to squeeze some in. We got a fine attorney, friend of ours, Sterling Brown's attorney. Sterling Brown was in the State of the Union chambers last night. His attorney, Mark Thompson, comes to address our righty, whitey, racist today attituded Dan O'Donnell down the dial at 4:30. But Biden's in DeForest making it a sunny day. Let's start back from the top. Cut 100, if you would, Ebone. Work it out together.
The backbone of this nation is strong, and the people of this nation are strong. And I've said so many times, often told the Democrats and Republicans, we can actually work together.
Let's keep it rolling, Ebone. People want to hear the president. Cut 101.
Fighting for the sake of fighting gets us nowhere. We're getting things done. It's always been my vision for this country.
Not the way Huckabee Sanders told it later, but keep going with the president today in DeForest. Cut 102, please.
Wall Street did not build this country. The middle class built the country, and unions built the middle class.
Yeah, he's a union guy. I don't know if Joe's ever mentioned that to you, Dom.
Yeah, I got that impression.
More from the president. Cut 103, please. More jobs.
We've created more jobs in 2 years. More jobs in 2 years than any president's created in a single four-year term.
More than Trump? Had that argument a couple times last night, right? Not on job creation, but on creation of debt. Let's sneak in a few more. Plan working. The plan's working, Dom. 104, please.
The Biden economic plan is working. It's working.
And part of his plan is Made in America. Cut 105.
I announced we're proposing new standards to require all construction materials used in federal infrastructure projects be made in America. American lumber, American glass, American drywall, American fiber optics, American roads, bridges, highways made with American products.
And then he says he wants to find enough Republicans. He's playing Where's Waldo of Play It for the People. 106, please.
There's nothing. Nothing beyond our capacity if we work together. And it's my hope we're going to find enough Republicans who want to do that.
And that's probably all we have time for from the Joe Biden in DeForest Joe gave her a hell of a spirited speech today.
Very, Dad. Very well received, very optimistic, and such a contrast, not only from Huckabee Sanders, but the former guy, former President Trump. Remember him? The American dream is dead.
That was quite a uplifting speech. We were there. We were there, Dom, although I think we were probably the first ones to get up and walk out on Donald Trump's inauguration speech. Specifically you. I would have stayed till the end.
It was starting to rain.
It's not raining now. It's sunny in Wisconsin. Hopefully all across this great state, all across the nation. It's always sunny up in here when we bring on a fine guest. I believe we got one coming next. He is Mark Thompson, counsel for Sterling Brown. Sterling was at the State of the Union address last night as the guest of Gwen Moore.
...60% of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dom assures me it's the Wednesday edition.
I promise.
It's the State of the Union Hangover Edition, and we welcome back a fine guest. He's a friend of ours. He's Mark Thompson. Mark is an attorney at law. Got a lot of hats this man wears. But we would like to point out, you host a program right here on the network, the Paul Revere Show on Monday nights. And if you haven't heard it yet, look it up, the podcast, at the civicmedia.us under the shows. Look for the Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. And welcome, host Mark Thompson, lawyer Mark Thompson, in this case, counsel for Sterling Brown, former Milwaukee Buck Mark Thompson. That's the hat I want you wearing today, sir. Welcome, Mark.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me back. I haven't seen the two of you in a long time. It's a privilege to be your guest.
We get better looking each time, don't we, Mark?
Actually, Dom does.
Sadly, that's probably true. One of us does. Can't say the same of you, Mark. Mark, you have
referenced... Touché.
You and I are in the same column, Mark. You, however, have represented a lot of people as a lawyer. And in a lot of cases, your clients have suffered through some sort of trauma. And in this case, former Milwaukee Bucks player Sterling Brown lived through a traumatic event. Mark, I know you can't relive all the different stuff that happened that night, but give the audience the thumbnail version of what happened to your client Sterling Brown one night in Milwaukee.
Sure. Yeah. Let me just say this, because there's been a lot of sort of discussions about Sterling Brown being present at the State of the Union last night. And on his behalf, condolences go out to the family and friends of Officer Peter Gerving, who just by happen chance was murdered on the same day that the president had his State of the Union. It's important in that context to remember what happened to Sterling and what Sterling did. January 26, 2018, he was on a date, 2 a.m, pulled up to a Walgreens, just ran in, happened to be parked. It was an empty parking lot, happened to be parked in a disabled parking spot. And it came out, and an officer, white officer, was there. And rather than the white officer just writing him a ticket, called in a bunch of officers. He was eventually surrounded, slammed to the ground, and tased. And frankly, he could have died, because one of the officers actually pulled a gun first, then holstered the gun and tased him. Sterling hadn't done nothing wrong, and his constitutional rights were violated. He filed a lawsuit against the city of Milwaukee, and after a long legal battle, the case settled against the city of Milwaukee back in 2021. As a result of that settlement, historic policy changes were made, including that de-escalation training by officers and specific training that the use of force, pulling a gun, even if you don't pull the trigger, is a use of force. So that's a brief summary of a very complicated set of facts.
Well, Mark, let's add to that story. I was listening to Righty Whitey Talk Radio today. Dan O'Donnell was characterizing your client, Sterling Brown, as deserved of the tasering he received. Effectively, he cast plenty of aspersions at Mr. Brown's direction. Said effectively he dishonored this dead cop, as did Gwen Moore, as the nation should be dishonored that he would go as a representative of, sought police justice. That he would be in the gallery last night was dishonorable, according to Dan O'Donnell, considered the source. But even how he wrapped up this thought was he effectively said your client was a mediocre NBA player, but based on the incident in Milwaukee, he demonstrated he sure could take a charge. But bump, bump. And so, I thought it was sickening, Mark.
Well, and that's why I'm here when you called and told me that. So let's just sort of start at the end. There are tens of thousands of basketball players on the planet. And I think that the number that actually ever get to play in the NBA, the elite level, is less than 500 at any given point in time. So Sterling Brown, by the world standards, is an elite player, without a doubt. The fact that as an elite player, he was assaulted, and the listeners should know this. One of the excuses they used to tase Sterling Brown was they said he had a gun in the back of his car. Sergeant Krieger, under oath, testified that he lied to internal affairs and said that. Now, they had to make up lies in an attempt to justify what they did to Sterling Brown. Sterling Brown didn't deserve anything, period. And to attack him viciously is straight up white supremacist, racist talk. The State of the Union was scheduled way before the officer was murdered in Milwaukee. Sterling Brown was invited there to be Congresswoman Gwen Moore's guest to highlight that you can, remember, he's a son of a police officer. Sterling Brown is the son of a police officer, that you can, in fact, work hard and make policing better and increase the integrity of the police officers. And in that ultimate end, it is respectful to policing. Now, he was invited to D.C. to meet with Gwen Moore, to meet with the Nichols family, to share in their grief after their child had been murdered. All of that was invited and scheduled before this tragic incident yesterday. The State of the Union went on. The guests showed up. There is nothing disrespectful to any officers in the city of Milwaukee for being there and part of this national dialogue that is so crucial. And for any radio announcer to attack him for that, demean his quality, demean his character, it's like bullies in high school with no, they're just screaming and yelling because they can't deal with the truth.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. That is Mark Thompson. He is the attorney for Sterling Brown, the Milwaukee Bucks, former Milwaukee Bucks player who was tased here in the city of Milwaukee. A couple thoughts on that, Mark, and certainly, the headlines of the day kind of drive the conversation. Certainly we've been critical. I have been critical of policing practices in certain regards because look at some of these results. But, you know, when this officer got shot and killed, I mean, the city is mourning right now. I was talking to guys at the gym in the morning, early in the morning. It was just coming out. It was just getting to be the news that an officer was shot. And the way it was looking, we know how this goes. I think, like, what, 5 Milwaukee police officers have been killed in the line of duty in the last 5 or 6 years. So, unfortunately, you know, these things do happen. And we do mourn for the officer, and we do feel for the family and everyone involved in that case. Those situations do not take away from these other situations. These things happen in parallel lanes. One does not impact the other. And I guess my thought as it pertains to the Memphis Five, you know, brutally murdered this young man, these police officers, of course, African-Americans as well. This is not just a racial thing. This is an institutional problem. In your efforts with the Brown settlement was to try to change some of those basic fundamental problems that we have with policing. Apparently, like the 5 in Memphis, they lied. They lied about the report. If you read the initial police report from Memphis, sounds a lot like this Milwaukee guy. Things are left out. You know, obviously, things are left out. They purposely try to hide this behavior. So I applaud you for your efforts, Mark. And one of the things I want to get to specifically was this Milwaukee Police Department operating procedures. What, they have to be now anti-racist and anti-discriminatory? Number one, how did that come about, and what does it mean, and how is that enforced, Mark?
The, you know, part of getting us to a place where every human being is treated equally is to say we're going to be anti-discriminatory, and we're going to be collectively against racism. And we're going to look at policies that are racist or have had a racist impact, and together we're going to solve it. So we're talking about human beings and human rights. And Sterling Brown was an advocate saying, look, I am an NBA player. I am the son of a police officer. But that night, I happened to be a young black man on a date, and all my constitutional rights were violated. And that is not how we treat human beings. And that is not how police act. Police are to serve and protect everyone. And then when they lie about the conduct, they try to cover up. And look, my city still has a problem. That sergeant was disciplined, right? But he wasn't disciplined for lying to internal affairs. One of the policies that were implemented as a result of Sterling Brown settlement is that if you lie to internal affairs, if you weren't going to be fired before, that's ground for firing now. Right? I mean, and now they're supposed to be trained in this, right? You have to de-escalate. You can't escalate. You have to, if you pull your gun, you got to report it, because you can't pull it and threaten someone, put it away. Right. I mean, you have to treat people as human beings. And that was what Sterling Brown advocated from day one. And he should be respected and thanked for. I mean, he sat tough until the city sat down and said, we're going to look at this. Now we have it in writing. Now the department has to train its officers, and then they have to enforce that. And the goal of that is to make it safer on the street, develop trust between the police and the community, and in particular, the African-American community, and where folks can be safe. And when people are safe and believe in their police, then we have a really working relationship. And it's just, I mean, it is sad that it happened, that we had the State of the Union on the day a murderer decided to, you know, murder a police officer in Milwaukee. But the fact that that happened shouldn't be used as a basis to attack Sterling Brown, blame him for what the police did wrong, and whip up some kind of white nationalist racist comments about him, and then to demean him. I mean, look, you know, if you're an NBA player, by definition, you are an elite athlete, right? How many college kids would wish to be as good as Sterling Brown? and that somebody would attack him in that way. That's why I said he's a high school bully with nothing to do but scream. And it's racist stuff, and we should shut him down.
Well, Mark, typically we wouldn't punch down at Dan O'Donnell, but, you know, I felt like you should know what was being said in the public about your client. He does have a platform. Real quick, Mark, we're almost out of time here. Remind people, there was a financial settlement. And typically, he who writes the check is wrong in the court of law. What was the settlement to your client?
Yeah, well, you know, the city originally wanted to pay $100,000, and they paid $750,000, right? There was justice done for Sterling Brown.
Yeah.
Right? No one pays that kind of money if he deserved it or he didn't do anything wrong.
And above beyond that,
his constitutional rights.
It was stated in policy. They can't say, well, no fault acknowledged. There's a lot of fault acknowledged. Mark, thank you so much for your time. Mark Thompson, counsel for Sterling Brown and the host of the Paul Revere Show Monday nights right here on Civic Media, 7 o'clock. Keep it locked. Mark, thank you. More Devil's Advocates.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you all.
The Devil's Advocates, radio for the 99%. I wish I
would have met you. Listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show, you can join us on the lines at 844-967-2789. Harvey K., our pal, going to join us in the 5 o'clock hour.
Dominic, fine guest. Want to thank him. Attorney Mark Thompson. Guy wears a lot of hats. The most important one, usually, is hosting the Paul Revere Show Monday nights right here. And the
most important
Media
one
Network.
Is Friends of the Devil's Advocates, man. That's the most important one.
That is a official title bestowed, like, sir. It's like being knighted, a friend of the Devil's Advocate. That is like a commodity. Anyways, thank you, Mark. You are a friend of the Devil's Advocates and a fine host in his own regard. And a pretty damn fine attorney, Dom. Anyways, the fallen police officer, and Mark did read a statement from his client, Sterling Brown, acknowledging Milwaukee police officer Peter Jerving was killed trying to arrest a robbery suspect in Milwaukee. I'm not going to give you a lot of updates here, but do want to read just briefly from the Journal Sentinel's coverage. A Milwaukee police officer was shot and killed early Tuesday while trying to arrest a robbery suspect who hours earlier had been sentenced to probation in a misdemeanor hit-and-run case. Two officers chased after a 19-year-old man and exchanged gunfire with him, Police Chief Jeffrey Norman said. The 19-year-old also died from gunshot wounds, but it was unclear early Tuesday if they were self-inflicted or from the officers, according to the chief. Later Tuesday, Norman identified the fallen officer as Peter Jerving, a 37-year-old with 4 years of service with the Milwaukee Police. Norman said his courage in the line of duty should be commended. Milwaukee, our hearts are heavy, Norman said, while growing emotional during a brief press conference near the scene. One of our finest, who put on that uniform, put on the badge, went into work last night and paid the ultimate sacrifice for protecting our community. Milwaukee, we need your prayers. We need your support. To the men and women of the Milwaukee Police Department, I see you, and I'm proud of you. The work you do does not go unnoticed. This is a time to lean in and do the work in our community. The violence needs to stop. So, fallen Milwaukee police officer, that's unfortunate, Dom. It is certainly tragic. I mean, I couldn't imagine going to work as a radio show host and having to give my life for that mission. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Talk about mission. Yeah. Sort of a different level of mission. So committed people take these jobs. And I think ultimately my takeaway would be we should put a greater commitment in the people we hire to be police officers. We should pay them better. We should train them a hell of a lot better. And we should hold them to a higher standard in our communities. You know what I mean? In different places, they train their cops a lot more than what, like, an 8-week police academy. So if someone's willing to put the dedication in to go serve, to perhaps put their life on the line, let's raise up this profession. I don't know why under Scott Walker's leadership here in the state of Wisconsin that being a public servant became a bad thing. And I know he exempted the cops for a while from Act 10 and, you know, is really playing the political, playing them against another public sector union. But we've got to raise up people that want to serve their communities in the public sector. I mean, teachers, cops, firefighters, these are commendable human beings. These are the people that should be lifted up. And I can tell you, last night, Joe Biden, in his speech, he was talking about people and their jobs and what they talk about at the kitchen table. And I felt optimistic, Dom. I got to tell you, you said glass half full. The state of our union, I'm feeling half full. Well, you know what? I'm feeling a little better after hearing Joe Biden last night. I feel like Joe Biden kind of expressed in a functional way that he does hear America. He's hearing people. And if you are committed, if you are committed to this nation, you know, damn it, we can make it a better place. But then, of course, there was the flip side.
Yeah, there's always a flip side.
There were the Marjorie Taylor Greens. What was, I mean, did she get that fur thing out of Huggy Bear's wardrobe? Where did she come up with that thing?
I don't give a damn what she's wearing. You know, I know people like to talk about that and Kyrsten Sinema, whatever. You know, their behavior. I mean, if she had worn a mascot uniform and kept her mouth shut, I'd have been much more happy. But of course, she didn't because she can't, and that's not who she is. A couple of things on the Sterling.
You realize most mascots don't speak.
That would be great. Police officers, firefighters, EMTs, teachers, the Republicans and MAGAs in Congress just literally this week, or was it perhaps last week, recently tried to stick it to the Democrats by voting against socialism, right? Well, all those public sector type jobs that you're talking about serving, those are all paid for with tax dollars. Those would all be classified, as far as I understand how MAGA thinks, as socialist positions, as socialism.
I'm not afraid of a word, Dom, unlike some of our conservative friends. The word doesn't scare me because
sure,
I can
but,
look
but
it up.
Sure, but it's not just the word. It's also the actions behind it.
Sure.
So through this effort, they minimize those professions, as did former governor of the state of Wisconsin, Scott Walker. They minimize those things. A couple other things. You know, when there's little hope or no hope, right? Things look a whole lot different for people. And I don't know the circumstances of the guy who shot this police officer. He was apparently a robbery suspect. He had some recent convictions of reckless driving, those kinds of things. So no matter what it was, it does not justify, you know, shooting an officer who's trying to take you into custody because you broke the law. We need to continually work on and consider the communities in which, you know, we patrol and we serve. These cops, were they from the local community? I think they were from a different district. What brought them there? I don't know the answers to all those questions, but there is obviously a disconnect between some of the residents in Milwaukee and other, you know, big cities around this country and the police force that is supposed to serve and protect. So if anything, I would hope that, you know, these kinds of issues bring people together rather than further dividing them. And again, condolences. Unfortunately, this is not an uncommon occurrence. According to the Journal Sentinel, five since 2018, police officers have died in the line of duty in the city of Milwaukee.
Sterling Brown's fault, apparently, for going to the State of the Union address with Glenn Moore.
Yes, of course. Yeah, you might as well blame all of them on Sterling Brown. Right, O'Donnell?
Dan O'Donnell, that was Klan's assessment, you know, as he crapped on the black former Bucks player as mediocre. Dan, you would aspire to be a mediocre talk show host. Come back, Harvey K. I mean, when you're the greatest radio show ever, Dom, you hate to punch down at the man.
I know. We did enough now. We don't have to punch down anymore.
Moving on with the great guest, friend of the devil, Harvey K. And that means something, Harvey. More Devil's Advocates, the happier happy hour, right now.